Welcome to Red Alert Radio, grassroots radio with an ear on the issues that matter to you.
Kia ora koutou katoa. Welcome to Red Alert on Planet FM 104.6. My name is Priyanka Radhakrishnan, and I'm your Labour MP based in Maunga Kia Kia. Welcome to another episode of this wonderful program. Today, we've got a very special guest with us today in the studio. We've got Beate Matisse, who is the chair of ADCOS, the Auckland District Council for Social Services. She's also a member of the Auckland Interfaith Council and the manager at the Mercy Spirituality Centre. Welcome, Beate.
Thank you very much.
Lovely to have you in the studio with me today.
Pleasure to have come.
I thought we could start with, all three organizations that you are heavily involved with, I find really interesting, and I find that there probably are sort of common threads that link them all together. So I'm really keen to explore that a little bit in today's program, and also to focus a little bit on the work of the Interfaith Council, because that sort of links quite well with some of the work that I do with our ethnic communities as well. So I thought to start, I was looking at the ADCOS website, and I really liked the vision statement that that you've got on the website. I thought I'll just read it out for our listeners as a bit of a starting point for us. So the vision of ADCOS is for us to have an inclusive society with active citizenship, active participation, mutual respect, valuing everybody equally, with opportunity for everyone to develop their full potential and to live a dignified and fulfilling life. I really, really like that. There are so many components to that that I would be quite keen for us to explore. Now, you were involved in creating the vision statement for, if I'm not mistaken. Yes. Would you like to tell me a little bit about that and how it sort of frames the work that ADCOS does?
We created that vision and our mission statement about a year or 2 years ago, and we were about 10 people. And what we wanted to do is we were looking at what does the society need? And each one of us, we have different backgrounds from different countries, and we have our own experience that comes into ADCOS. And one of the points for me personally is democracy. I grew up in Germany, very close to the former GDR border, to the German Democratic Republic, and I knew what it is, how we have to cherish democracy. Mm-hmm. But democracy only works if we are active participants. So you can't just create a democracy and the people still continue their lives as before. So that's one of the parts that we have to be active. And you can only be active if you first get to know a little bit about the people and then educate people. Mm-hmm. You have to be educated in democracy. And Auckland is a country that is, Auckland is a town that is city, really diverse. So people come from different backgrounds, and they have to learn how to be active participants. Hmm. You can't just expect them to be involved in democracy. So we go look at the diversity, but we organize forums about different issues that we think are important, and we listen to our members. We have a membership, and the members, they are always asked to give us feedback, what forum, what event they'd like to see happen, mm-hmm. and then we support.
Right. So tell me a little bit more about what that actually looks like. So active participation for me, I guess, in the political sphere would be about, say, you know, people coming in and submitting at select committees, contacting their member of parliament to talk about some of the issues and what their view is on that, or how it impacts them. What is, from ADCOS's point of view, what does active participation look like, and how is that different from active citizenship?
Well, active participation is, for first of all, to vote. Right. And that's something, for example, before the elections, we motivated people to vote. We have a magazine, we have different events, and wherever we go, we tell people, go and vote. That's the first thing. But then also, you have to keep people informed. So we have, for example, a magazine, and we have some information up on the website, and we inform people about different issues. So people come and write an article, for example, about something that strikes them and says, that's a problem, we have to look at that. And then we invite people to think about it and get active. It can be that they join one of the members that we have. Our members are all NGOs and non-for-profit organizations. So it could be that they want to change something regarding the lack of food for people who are most vulnerable. They might join one of the members and help there actively. Or they can also actively work in writing a submission. Looking at the different ways, democracy has lots of ways to get involved.
Now, speaking of democracy getting involved and ADCOS, I understand that the Auckland Interfaith Council is also a member of ADCOS. I think in the last magazine they perhaps introduced themselves. Tell me a little bit about the council, about how you got involved in that space as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've always been interested in interfaith because I've been interested in cultures, and I studied linguistics in Germany, and I had pen friends, and when I was a teenager, I had pen friends all over the world, in Sri Lanka and in Israel and in Latin America and in Thailand. And I communicated with them about their culture, their religion, because there was a time pre-internet, so you couldn't just Google it. And
I vaguely remember that time.
So I remember that my Muslim friends, they told me about their feast days, and my Jewish friends told me about their feast days and how they celebrated. And I told them about our Catholic feast days and about Carnival and so on. So it has always been interesting for me to know about the culture and the religion. Mm-hmm. And at school, I was in a state school, but for one, we had religious education as compulsory for all those who belong to the major religions. Mm-hmm. And so in our unit, our school, one year we all had teachings about different religions. So we had a little bit about Buddhism, a little bit about Hinduism and Muslim religion, the major religions in the world. Mm-hmm. And this way I learned a lot more about the religion, and I could connect even better with my pen friends that I had for many, many years. And when I came to Auckland, I was looking for interfaith groups. And then I was approached by a parishioner of ours after church, and she said to me, would you like to join the ADSEA group? And I said, what's that? And she said, it's the Auckland Diocesan Committee for Ecumenism and Interfaith Relations.
Wow.
What a mouthful. But this is a group that is within the Catholic Diocese of Auckland. It is a group that focuses on interfaith and on ecumenism. Ecumenism is what we have between different Christian denominations. So working together as Catholics, working together with Methodists or with Baptists or Anglicans or Lutherans. And then interfaith relations are with other faiths, other religions. And there's always one person of this committee who is also representing the Catholics on the Interfaith Council. Mm-hmm. And when this person last year resigned, I was asked to step up. So I've only been on this Auckland Interfaith Council for not even a year. But I really enjoy the work. So we are a group of a few members from different religions. Our chairperson is Ruth Cleaver. Mm-hmm. And then we have Jewish representative, a Muslim representative, Anglican, myself, Hindu, and Mormon. And we meet a few times a year, usually every second month or so. Mm-hmm. And we are planning forums, or we're planning evening talks, or some events that show that we can work together, all the different faith groups.
Right.
And we had, sometimes we have lectures, and there is now a religious diversity center that came out of it. And the religious diversity center is in the city center of Auckland. And there are even more possibilities to learn about other religions.
Mm. And is the diversity center, just for our listeners, how would they contact? Is there a, can they just Google it and find a website and get in touch that way?
Yeah, there is a website.
And members of the public can go and visit the center.
Well, there are lectures and everything is open. So we're always welcome. Right. And then we have, last year for the first time, we had an event called Exploring Sacred Spaces.
Yes. Now tell me a little bit about that particular program. It's one that I know a little bit about and I find quite fascinating.
Well, we were discussing about how to introduce people to other sacred spaces, a temple or a mosque or a church. And in the beginning we were thinking, shall we do it all at once, like we do a tour and go from one place to another? But then we decided to spread it out over 7 or 10 days. And every day we went to a different place, almost every day. So we had, I think, 10 days and 7 places. Mm-hmm. And we started in a mosque. And that's where we had a porphyry and an opening ceremony, because it was also the first time that it was exploring sacred spaces. But also we had the topic, get to know your neighbor. Right. So we wanted to have especially the neighbors of these places. And but people came from all over Auckland and visited different places. And it was really wonderful. At every event, we had about 40 people, no matter if it was on a Sunday afternoon or on a Monday evening. Mm. And we visited the Buddhist temple. We visited went to the Catholic church in Tagapuna, which was the only thing that we had on the North Shore. Mm. Seems like most sacred spaces are on the other side of the harbour bridge.
That's interesting.
So I think it brought people together, and you could see some people came for the first time at maybe the second event, and then they enjoyed it and they went to all the other places.
Yeah.
And people from the North Shore went all the way to Manurewa and to Flatbush to visit the sacred spaces there. And each religious group had an hour or up to 2 hours, depending on their own schedule and how the interest was. But it was usually for an hour was planned, but sometimes it took an hour. Mm-hmm. And people asked a lot of questions and they wanted to get to know about the worship ceremony, for example, or about certain things that they saw in the buildings.
Right.
And in every place we were very much welcomed, and they offered a little refreshment, which is also then typical. And we learned in some places you have to remove your shoes, in others you have to cover your hair, and you get to know different traditions. And I found that most the people who were hosting the events, they were so welcoming.
Lovely.
And they were really, you could see that they were proud of showing their places.
It's great to hear that there was so much interest in this program or this event that was organized. And I mean, in my role, you know, I do go to quite a few different places of worship. And you're right, there's often, if it's not your own, there's often a sense from others as well that, you know, you need to tread a little bit cautiously because you don't quite understand how it works. And I think also there's, you know, people are mindful that they don't want to offend the other. So I'm really glad to hear about this because it breaks down some of those barriers between people and fosters that sense of understanding. You've mentioned that you've always been interested in this space of learning about different faiths and different cultures. Can you tell me a little bit about why you think it's important, perhaps here in Auckland or just in general?
Well, I think that you can't really separate culture from religion. And whereas you can come with a new religion into a country and adapt, you'd still have something from your first country. Mm-hmm. And I think that's how religion worked in all countries, because most religions didn't stay in one country. So if there was, you can see Judaism, you have different places where the Jews lived after the temple was destroyed, and some are today called Ashkenazi Jews, and others, some are European Jews, mm-hmm. and some are more Arabic Jews, or Arabic, Northern Africa and the Middle Eastern Jews. Mm-hmm. So they have different food for their same tradition, the Seder meal. And when I came here to the Seder meal, I was introduced to new approaches. Mm-hmm. They still have their tradition, but they have to adapt a little bit. And it reminds me, like, I like baking cakes,
mm-hmm.
and I have lots of German recipes, but the ingredients are so much more expensive in New Zealand, so I adapt.
Right.
So instead of putting hazelnuts in the cake, I put peanuts in the cake and things like that. And I think that's the way one of the rabbis explained it to me, that you have to adapt to the place where you live.
Mm.
When you can't get this and this, you have to find a replacement. Mm. And I think it's the same with Christians. And for example, the tradition is you have red wine during mm-hmm. Mass.
Mm-hmm.
And my home region, where you have 99% white wine, you're using white wine.
Right.
So you don't have to have red wine. You can also have white wine. But then wherever you go, and some Catholics, for example, coming from the islands, go into the church barefoot. To a European, it's incredible. You don't go in barefoot because you show your respect by wearing proper clothes. But for them, showing respect means you take off your shoes and go barefoot.
That's right.
But then you also have to look at the practical things. In Europe, the churches are usually very cold. So it wouldn't be recommendable to wear barefoot.
I really liked that example about baking the cake. I think that's a great analogy, because really cultures are fluid, aren't they? They're not sort of stuck in one point in time. They change as conditions change and contexts change and adapt. And I think very often people miss that. I actually find in some of the work that I've done, particularly with newer migrant communities, you know, sort of come from the home country at a specific point. So you leave the home country at a specific point, move to the host country and hang on to maybe some of the cultures and the traditions that you brought with you. And that becomes the only thing that's familiar to you in this new country. So you hang on to them. So often for me, I mean, I was born in India. You know, I grew up in Singapore. My parents left India at a specific point in time. But sort of for me, I'm one step removed. So when I stand back and look at some of the communities that I work with here and look at what's happening back in the home country or the country that, you know, we've all left and come from, sometimes you find that that country's actually moved on and quite a few practices and cultures and traditions may have changed. But because the migrant community has brought with them a certain set that was from a specific time and have hung on to it for a sense of familiarity, which is understandable as well, but sometimes you find that the migrant or the diaspora communities don't change as much and things have moved on in the country that they've come from. So I really like that idea of cultures being fluid and of adapting. And, you know, there are certain things that you can let go of and it doesn't matter.
But it's like with language, because I'm a linguist originally. And when you look at my master thesis was about the English, the French language in Canada. And there were lots of terms that were from ancient, from French, from 200 years ago. And there was a movement to keep French clean of Anglicisms. And by doing that, they translated English sentences, which were not usable in France.
Right.
And which sounded a bit like, they wouldn't say le weekend, the weekend. They would say fin de semaine. That's the end of the week translated into French.
Right.
And that's still okay, but if you have certain colloquialism, you have keep an eye on something and you translate it word by word, well, if the culture doesn't have that understanding, you translate it and you try to make it all French, but in a way you have an Anglicism that is just translated.
Right.
So you can stick to one thing and you think that's correct.
Yeah.
And forget about the rest.
That's right. That's right. Contexts are so important, aren't they? The other reason that I guess I'm really interested in the work of the Interfaith Council is because we live in such a diverse community or diverse society here in Auckland particularly. I mean, what is it, over 220 ethnicities that are represented. Collectively, we speak over 160 languages. That's a lot of difference in a sense. And I think, you know, we're at a crossroads in a way. We could go either way. We could either just let that increase and not find out about the different cultures and the different languages people speak and the different contexts that people come from. you know, or we could actually immerse ourselves in that. And I actually think, and I heard this analogy the other day, I was at Polyfest last week, ASB Polyfest, which was wonderful because it's all high school students showcasing their cultures, different Pacific cultures. And of course, New Zealand, you know, we're part of the Pacific. There's no them and us. It's all us, basically. But one of the speakers talked about the fact that, you know, if you look at it in terms of, say, threads, individual threads, beautiful colors, they're strong in themselves, but when you weave them together, and I think many of our cultures have that weaving analogy where you weave these threads together and it's even stronger. And I actually believe very strongly that we, our strength in New Zealand, in Auckland, is because of our diversity and not in spite of it.
Yes.
But we've got to break those barriers down, just like the Exploring Sacred Spaces program that you talked about does that on one level. I think the work of the Interfaith Council is particularly important because it fosters a sense of acceptance rather than just tolerating one another. What do you think?
Absolutely. And in this context, I'd like to mention another thing that we have is called a Leadership in Diversity Day. Yeah. And that is something that's happening. It's also an annual event since 2014, and mm-hmm. it's in partnership with Unitech and their Spirituality Week. The AIFC, the Auckland Interfaith Council, organizes this event for the Year 12 students from public and religious schools. And they'll do presentations on topics that of interest that are given by the students mm-hmm. from various faith perspectives, and discussion groups are then formed. And it always takes place here at Unitech, on the Unitech Marae. And so incorporated in the Maori culture setting, you have all the different faith groups and they're all students of the year 12 and wow. they get to know each other. Mm. And I think that's also a really great initiative.
That's great. Is there a date set for that for this year?
Or? It's always in August. It's in during August. The Spirituality Week of Unitech. I think it's mid-August or something like that.
Right. I'm sure listeners can find that on the Unitech website, or perhaps if we find it, we'll link it
or
to the program later
yeah,
on.
I'll take out the Auckland Interfaith Council website, and I think that's also helpful.
Yes, of course. Excellent. Now, that's good. Were there any other projects coming up or events coming up that you wanted to share with our listeners?
Well, we have one evening with Dr. Maureen Sear, and she's from Scotland, and she gives a lecture, on the topic Finding Faith in a Secular World, How Interfaith Engagement is Revolutionizing Religion. And that's a public lecture followed by a question and answer session with light refreshments. And it takes place on the 27th of March, which is next Tuesday. And it starts at 7:30 p.m. at the Quality Hotel Parnell in Gladstone Road in Parnell. And it's there's parking and it's free of charge. And we welcome anybody who's interested in hearing more about the work that Interfaith Scotland is doing. And I think it's always good to look at other examples, what have they been doing, because they've been going for a long time.
Absolutely. Now, I also know that there is some work either through the Interfaith Council or the Mercy Spirituality Center that looks at the relationship between the environment and spirituality. Perhaps certain events coming up that discusses that. Would you be able to tell us a little bit about the links between the two, perhaps? I just find that another interesting area as well.
There are lots of... We have at the Mercy Spirituality Center, it is a center that belongs to the Tengaka Waiora, belongs to the Mercy Ministries Trust. And we have... It's a spirituality center. We offer retreats, spiritual guidance, and some education. And one of the things that I always try to make sure that we have is one interfaith event. And then also we have this year, our special topic for this year is connectedness. So we have a theme every year. So the year of connectedness, we look at where are we connecting. So one thing that you mentioned is the ecology. So we have in April, we have two events on ecology, and that will be on the 10th and the 12th of April. and from 10 o'clock to noon at the Mercy Spirituality Center. But also we have then on the 26th of June, we have an event where we are linking three different religions who have the same link person, Abraham. So we have Christians, Jews, and Muslims. And we get together on the topic, Abraham, a connecting ancestor in faith. And it's open to anybody who would like to come. 26th of June, it's a Tuesday from 7 to 9 p.m. And this, again, is not just we have Abraham who connects us, but we also want to make it possible for discussion. So it's not just a talk. It's mainly focused on discussion. So there'll be an input from all three, but the main focus is on the discussion and to connect with each other. And our whole year of connectedness has many ways of connecting. We have an ecumenical day, and we have a religious diversity series. So we had one event on Maori culture. One event is coming up, sign language, in May. And then we have an event on Korean culture and on the Tongan culture later in the year.
Oh, that's fascinating. And what do those cultural days look like? What happens?
And on the Maori cultural day, we had an introduction in what it means, what the reconnecting according to Maori traditions. Like when you have when you have had a fight, for example, in the family or with your friends, or you had a kind of dispute, then how do you connect again? How do you reconnect? And so we had Arangi Davis talking about whakawhanaungatanga and to repairing, connecting, and connecting again with each other, and according to the Maori traditions. And it was a wonderful day. Well, it was an evening, but she... it was very spiritual and at the same time very encouraging for daily life. And the sign language is an event where we've invited the chaplain for the deaf ministry in the Catholic Diocese of Auckland, and Rachel Marr. And she can't talk, but she'll have her interpreter. So together with her and the interpreter, we will learn more about the sign language, because it's one of the official languages in New Zealand.
Yes, and I was just going to say it's great that you've started with the two official languages of New Zealand.
Exactly. And then we just picked out some other cultures, or maybe next year we have, again, other cultures. But this year we chose Tongan and Korean as they are contributing.
Yeah, no, that's brilliant. Thank you so much for sharing with us the work that you do there. It's absolutely fascinating. And of course, we're sort of right in the middle of a whole bunch of Race Relations Day events across the country as well. I've been to a couple myself, and they've been, you know, they've been great in terms of bringing different perspectives together. And also people, I went recently to, one of the events, which was about the Give Nothing to Racism, campaign that the Human Rights Commission has initiated, and sort of talking about different perspectives about racism and ending that. And I think all of this work goes towards bringing some of those barriers down and making, you know, fostering an environment where we understand and accept one another. So once again, thank you so much for coming on this show today, and thank you for all the work that you do. We've been in discussion with Beate Matisse from ADCOS, the Mercy Spirituality Centre, and the Auckland Interfaith Council. Thank you, Beate, so much.
Thank you.
Together next week at 9:05 a.m. or listen online anytime on planetaudio.org.nz/redalertradio.